Hey ladies, it's Charlie O and Lola, and we're the Shady Ladies. We're a couple of love coaches that love to sit on the patio, drink champagne, and talk about sex and love and relationships with no shame. We're here to help you to keep it exciting. Hello, welcome. We're here on the patio at a wine tasting with some lovely ladies, and we are just sharing some sage advice about surviving the holidays with the in-laws. So the holidays can be a very, very stressful time, and especially for us women. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and you know, we're usually the ones organizing and planning and inviting everyone, but there can be some issues with all of the stress and pressure that we put on ourselves. But I thought we would just talk to a few ladies here at the wine tasting, whoever would like to participate. And just share maybe some stories and what they did to kind of get through the holidays with the in-laws. And so we have Arlene, who was going to share a little bit of story and advice with us about how she handled a certain family situation with the holiday.
Yeah, my name's Arlene. And I'm older now. I'm almost 80. I'll be 80 next year. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of Christmases to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been married more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a lot of things I could talk about. Right now, what my husband and I do is we come to Arizona, leave the kids and grandkids at home. No problem.
No problem. There you go. Solution.
But in the past,
mm-hmm.
there's been problems.
Yeah.
Problems. Like with both sides to go to.
Right.
Little kids.
Right.
And they want to stay and play with the toys they got, but they have to go to another place
mm-hmm.
and their toys are there. That's hard on them. That's
yeah.
hard on the kids. So we started
in the same day.
The same day.
Yep, yep.
So we started doing Christmas Eve and Christmas morning.
Mm-hmm.
That way when they got their presents, my family, my
mm-hmm.
mom and dad lived just real close to us.
Mm-hmm.
So they would come up and watch them open and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked out pretty good. Then my second marriage, different story.
Right?
Right.
It just brings in a whole new dynamic.
Yeah. he had seven kids,
mm.
and his wife was not that nice to me.
Oh, yeah.
And she...
Right?
She kept...
I know you're putting it politely.
I know.
Thank you.
She was a...
yeah.
And
but with a different letter at the front.
Yeah. But we would... I would try and get a date for it.
Yeah.
And then she would get a date for it, Christmas.
Right.
And then we kind of decided trying to have them together.
Yeah.
And we did that for a couple of years. Well, that didn't work. That didn't work at all.
Aww.
And then the last year that we tried to have it together, because we just lived like 6 miles from each other.
Oh, yeah.
And all the kids were around there close.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to have it together. And I would call her, and she wouldn't answer.
Hmm.
And say, "What? When do we want to do this? Do we want to, you know, blah, blah, all that stuff." And I didn't find out till Christmas Eve that she was having it on Christmas, and I wasn't.
Yeah. So you're SOL.
Yeah. You bet. Well, that caused problems, all
right. Right, yeah, it would with me, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if she'd told me ahead of time, we could plan, but she didn't.
Right.
And that's what happens, you
and
know.
And then she didn't return your calls or your messages or anything.
That
so.
Was the point she was making.
Right?
Yeah.
Passive-aggressive?
Right. Yeah. anyway, so that's some things that went on in my life with Christmas.
Yeah.
And
so what did you do to get through it? Because, I mean, you got to, like...
Well, I cried for a while.
Yeah. I know, right?
What else would you
like
do?
Like a tear in your beer kind of thing.
And you just go through it and move on.
You just keep moving. So one thing that I think that, and I'm not perfect at it, but we have a blended family as well. And so, you know, I think as women, we don't tend to ask for help. But I think especially like with your husband having the children, right, that you're trying to blend and,
yes,
you know, and have these nice holidays and, you know, great memories, is we need to incorporate these men. They need to help. It can't just be all on us.
Well, I never found one else that has helped.
They want to stay out of it so they don't get yelled at.
I know, that's right.
I know. Yeah. I know. I hear it. I see it. I've been there.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I think I just shouldn't take it all on myself. I mean, that's just where I'm at now. I'm like, no, I need some reinforcement here.
That's why now I stay in Arizona.
You're like Bominos. Yeah. Oh, that is great information. Thanks for sharing, Arlene. We appreciate you kind of sitting in the hot seat, and it's really hard to address these things, but that's why I want to talk about it, and I want to start the conversation because, you know, this, if we expose it, then we can deal with it. But if we just keep dusting it under the rug, putting a Band-Aid on it, it never gets resolved. But anyway, so that's kind of why we're here tonight doing this, and thank goodness for the wine tasting. All right, so we have some more sage advice. We have sapsucker, and that is to protect the innocent. So so we have sapsucker here, and she was going to share just a little bit of sage advice as well.
Well, I want everybody to know that you should never mix politics and religion during the holidays.
That's a good one.
Well, one time we came back, and we're all Christians, but we have different political views, and I put up, instead of an angel that everybody is used to, I put up an 8x10 of President Bush. And my Democratic relatives came in and spit on the floor.
Oh.
So don't do that.
Oh. You mean don't pour salt in the room?
Yeah. So don't mix politics and religion.
And within the holidays.
During the holidays, yes.
Yeah, or probably at any family gatherings, right?
Right.
Yeah, but that's hard. I mean, I think sometimes... You know, I mean, I appreciate the advice, but sometimes I'm just like, I am who I am, and it
Correct.
Comes out.
Right.
And
me
so,
too.
You know, I mean, I'm not, I don't ever want to be in someone's face about my beliefs.
Right.
But I don't think that I should also hide my light
right.
and who I am and hide, you know, what I think, but not from the perspective of, I have to be in your face about it, because that's not
no
yeah
no.
So, but that was your home, so you invited these people to your home.
Yes,
you can decorate however you want. It's your home.
It was more of a joke.
Oh, it was a joke. Okay, so there was a little salt in the wound.
It was more of a joke because I kind of knew their reaction.
Yeah. So, oh, and they did react, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So spit in the floor. People like, can you hand them a wipey? They need to clean something up.
Yes. All turned out well, though.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Oh, good, good. Well, thank you for sharing, sapsucker. That name. Oh, it cracks me up. Oh, yeah. We have to protect the innocent. Because, you know, it's hard talking about this stuff, and it's hard feeling exposed in front of a microphone in front of your face. I mean, I've been there, and, you know, the liquid courage helps. All right. right. So we have Pinky here. And again, we need to protect the innocent. But she has a great story to share about mixing the cultures. So feel free.
So my story isn't so much about like the normal diversity conversation. It's more about the Midwestern culture. And I came from outside the state. And I was also working shift work at the time. So my in-laws were very ingrained in their culture of the Midwestern mentality of, you know, you have Christmas Eve is when they did their thing.
Yeah.
And I grew up with Christmas Day being our thing. And then mixed on top of that is the fact that I'm working midnight to 7 or 7 to 7, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Wow.
And then, you know, what do you do when I have to go to work at 7? So I want to see my kids open their gifts.
Right.
But they don't really get into that until midnight, you know? So, so needless to say, I'm not very happy at that time. And they're just peachy keen because they have no idea.
Yeah.
And so it took me a few years. And a lot of times you have to learn to live the life that you're living, right? And so I just accepted that sometimes it's more important that the kids are happy with where they're at, and I may have to be off at work or make some other arrangements. But it is difficult when you come from somewhere else and then have to meld with that certain ethic
just
or culture,
the culture, just
there.
The culture of the environment. Yeah,
absolutely.
The same thing, same thing. So, yeah, we kind of went back and forth. Do we do like open pajamas on Christmas Eve and then do the rest the Christmas Day? And yeah, that's kind of hard when you have to blend different families. You have children, and then you've got the in-laws with their traditions.
Yeah.
And you're coming into it, right?
Right. And then your husband's part of that other,
tradition.
So then you're split on where that all is, right? And so, yeah, it's very interesting. The only thing that I've learned is that time changes everything.
Yes.
You know, so your kids are small and then they're grown up and they don't really care.
Yeah.
And then it's whatever you make it, right?
Right. Well, so I had an experience with my grown daughter. She has three of my grandkids, and she had asked me something the other day, and she was like, oh, you know, talking about this time frame, and then were you there? And I go, yes, I was there. What do you mean, was I there? Of course I was there, you know. So I'm like, even her in high school, she was wondering if I was there. So maybe, you know, what kind of the signal it sent to me is maybe I put more emphasis on something than what the kids are putting emphasis on.
Right. Absolutely. I
so
agree.
Maybe I just need to chill the F out. But like, especially around holidays where, you know, as women, we're like, we got to get the decorations. We got to plan this. We got to do the food. We got to invite them. We got to have them. And, you know, all of the, and then we got to do this right for the kids. And, you know, everything has to be perfect. Right? Because it's the holiday. And then, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I just should calm down.
The other thing is trying to make traditions out of things that are unique.
Yeah.
So, like, for birthdays, I started decorating doors. Because some mornings I'm not there on their birthday day. So I would decorate the doors.
That's
and they'd
a good
come
idea.
Out and see what was different.
Yeah.
And one of my kids has carried that over.
Oh, that's so fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
That's
so
a good suggestion.
Trying to make a lot of different things.
Yeah, you have to make the best of what you have in the situation you're in, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm still going to go back to my tip, I think, is if you're trying to blend your family with your husband's family, let's call them in for reinforcement. So I think I'm going to start with a code word. This code word comes out of my mouth, you know, come in for reinforcement. So I can, like, go to the bathroom or something and just get a breather. Because I think just you know, a few minutes in the bathroom, just take a deep breath, and, you know, it just can be better. And, you know, maybe it'll be even be better the next day, but although usually that's after Christmas. But still, like, you know, sometimes I think if we can just let a few things go, it'll help us get through a little bit more. Sorry. It's just my soapbox.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
Yeah.
We all have our histories, and we have to remember them and cherish them, but then maybe the next generation has another set of memories.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I think maybe we didn't know what our parents were going through.
Yeah.
Even if they were blended families, you know, or not, but it's still like you just didn't see the pressure they were under, but they were.
Right.
And so that's why, like I said, I want to start the conversation. I want to get this out there so that maybe we can just be a little kinder to ourselves, a little kinder to those in our family. And, you know, one thing I've noticed for, like, family gatherings, whether it be holiday or anything, is everyone that comes to the party, the event, they're all bringing their little kid self with them, with that expectation of what that, you know, wrapped around that holiday or that theme or whatever that is. So if we can, you know, they say if you're going to talk in front of an audience, like, picture everyone naked. I can't really understand that one as well, but, like, if that one's hard for me, but if, like,
bring your husband out again, maybe I'll think about that one.
I know, right? He's a great guy. But, like, if you can just picture, like, you know, your mother-in-law or your father-in-law or sister-in-law, whoever you're having a problem with, you know, or whoever is a struggle with, picture them. They're just that little self. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're coming to the event with. Mm-hmm. And it kind of softens it a little bit, you know, kind of takes the frustration out and, like, wanting to throat punch someone. Anyway, well, thanks for sharing, Pinky.
Oh, sure.
We appreciate it. We have Jules. Sorry, got the J's confused. Jules here, and she was going to share just a little story that she had experienced with getting through the holidays with the in-laws. So feel free.
Well, this isn't really, well, it's kind of with the in-laws, but not. We have Christmas every year, and one son lives in Seattle, and he never comes home don't come home for Christmas. We either go there or, well, anyway, one year always before Christmas, I take the grandkids that are back home, and I take them out for a special day, and they each get their own day, and I take them out to lunch, and we just do fun things all together. Well, the ones in Seattle never get to do it.
Oh.
And my in-laws got kind of upset about that.
Mm.
But I says, well, you're not here. It's kind of hard. What would I do? So the kids were really upset. I mean, it really bothered them
mm-hmm.
that they never got to have a special day with their grandma. So I finally called him. I says, well, what if when you come home, we do it then? Well, then that seemed to make them happy. So tried that, and it worked out very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have them travel
but
to
you. But I never
you.
Realized how upset they were over it. Didn't even think about it, you know, because, well, they live out there, you know. And I mean, it's a long ways away.
Yeah.
And never even thought about it. And I probably should have. You know, you should have probably thought about it.
Well,
but it did really upset them.
I do think so, yeah. Trying to keep it even as best you can.
As best you can,
but,
yeah.
I mean, as you know, you can't please everyone.
No.
So you could have kept it as even to the, you know, to the penny, however you measure that. You could have kept it as even as possible, and then still someone would be frustrated.
Yeah.
So,
but I was upset over it for quite a while until I finally figured, well, when they come home, you know, we can do it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't every year, but it was when they came home.
Yeah.
So it worked out.
Well, I hope you felt special because they really wanted your time.
They must have.
That is what, that's what the kids want. You know, it's, I mean, I think kids want presents or whatever, they but they really, more than anything, they want your time.
Exactly.
They
and
do.
And we probably got to see them maybe every 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Aww.
Well,
yeah.
Grandmas are special. Yeah. And, you know, thank goodness, I don't know how many people here are taking advantage of, like, the video chats and stuff that you can do.
No, you can't, yes.
Isn't that
but
nice?
Back then you could.
It's changed.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely definitely helped. Yeah. Because, yeah, now we're a little far from the grandkids.
Yeah, emails, Facebook, and, I mean, the whole business, yeah, so.
Yeah, and you can quickly snap a photo and send it to them. Yep. It's so nice.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's so nice.
Works good.
Well, yeah, thank you, Jules. All right, so still here at the wine tasting and having so much fun, and we appreciate you hosting Rambler. We appreciate your patio and this time and the time to gather together and talk about this subject, you know, getting through the holidays with the in-laws. And again, we have Rambler, you know, protecting the innocent. So the floor is yours.
Well, I'm a rambler and a gambler.
Oh, nice.
But I will gamble mostly on faith over fear.
Oh, I like it.
You fear a lot of things. You fear your in-laws. You fear the unknown. You fear that stubborn grandchild. You fear the all of a sudden the explanation that, oh, Grandma, didn't you know I'm an atheist and a lesbian?
Oh,
okay. Wow. That's interesting. Now, what am I supposed to do about that? Deal with it.
Right?
Now, how do you deal with it? I'm from a far different generation when it's a grandchild that all of a sudden presents me as if she's discovered a new cure for cancer or something, with statements that blow my mind, because in my world, no, 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 not acceptable, don't want it, don't accept it, and I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But now, it's not just my grandchild. It's society. They're all shoving it down my throat. Do this, do that. I don't like it. I don't know how to do it, but I'm a gambler. I figured, okay. How you win when you're a gambler is how to deal with a bad hand. I might have a bad hand, but you learn how to play it.
Nice.
And
that's
you
good
try
advice.
You try very hard, and even if you lose, you haven't lost, because through playing that bad hand, you've seen all their cards. So don't worry about it. Faith over fear, and if they throw it at you, don't throw it back. Stick it in your pocket. And just try very hard to say, Lord, help me keep my mouth shut. That's all I got to say. You will win.
That is some really good advice, I think. And thank you, Rambler, for your sage advice.